Upper Lynn Canal voters reflect statewide choices in Tuesday's primary election. And could Haines support a local college? It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. There were no major surprises in Alaska's primary election results for U.S. House and Senate. In Skagway, Haines, and Klukwan, votes largely reflected statewide numbers, supporting incumbents Senator Lisa Murkowski and Representative Don Young. Democratic challengers Steve Lindbeck for House and Ray Metcalf for Senate also garnered the most votes locally, as they did statewide. Voter turnout Tuesday hovered around 10% in Skagway and Haines. Klukwan saw the highest turnout of the Upper Lynn Canal communities at about 20%. Let's start with the Senate race. Lisa Murkowski received the overwhelming number of votes from area residents. Her name was on the Republican ballot with three lesser-known challengers, Paul Kendall, Thomas Lamb, and Bob Lochner. Kendall received the most local votes out of the three challengers. On the Democratic ballot, there were two Democrat and one Libertarian Senate hopefuls. Democrat Ray Metcalf received the most local support, except in Klukwan, where Edgar Blatchford was the favorite. Libertarian candidate Cian Stevens shared the ballot with the Democratic candidates and received fewer votes. In November, Alaska voters will choose between Murkowski, Metcalf, Stevens, and independent challenger Margaret Stock. Representative Don Young took the lion's share of votes on the Republican ballot for U.S. House. GOP challengers Gerald Hikes, Jesse Tingley, and Stephen Wright took a few votes away from him, but not enough to make much of a dent. Wright was the most popular of the three underdogs among Upper Lynn Canal voters. Of the Democratic candidates for Young's House seat, Steve Lindbeck garnered the most support. Although Lynette Hinz was about as popular among Skagway and Klukwan voters. Libertarians John Watts and Jim McDermott and Democrat William Hibbler were less popular. Of the two Libertarians, McDermott garnered more votes, as he did statewide. On the November ballot, Young will face Lindbeck and McDermott. Tuesday's primary election was pretty low-key in Southeast Alaska. The real battle for state House and Senate candidates will come during the general election. But as Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, a few trends emerged.
The region had no primary matchups, so ballots showed only one candidate per race, or in some cases, none. Southeast results show incumbents polled stronger than their challengers in two of the region's competitive races. One is Juneau's House District 34, which includes the Mendenhall Valley and neighborhoods to the north. Incumbent Republican Kathy Munoz got about 54% of the total vote, while Democratic challenger Justin Parrish won about 46%. The margin was much smaller in House District 35, which includes Sitka, Petersburg, Craig, Hoonah, Pelican, Angoon, and Cake. Incumbent Democrat Jonathan Christ Tompkins got just short of 51% of the votes. Republican challenger Sheila Finkenbinder won a little more than 49%. The third competitive race is House District 36, which includes Ketchikan-Wrangell and southern Prince of Wales Island. But this year's primary gives no indication of how the candidates stand up against each other. Incumbent Dan Ortez wasn't on the ballot because he's an independent with no party primary. Constitution Party candidate Kenneth Shaw wasn't on a primary ballot either. Republican challenger Bob Sievertson won all 860 primary votes. All three candidates live in Ketchikan. Two other incumbents ran unopposed in the primary and face no competition in November's general election. One is Sitka Republican Bert Stedman, who represents Senate District R. It includes his hometown, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, Prince of Wales Island, and most southeast villages. The other is Capital City Democrat Sam Keto III, who represents House District 33. It includes downtown Juneau, Haines, Skagway, and Douglas. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Ed Schoenfeld.
An effort to create a college or similar higher education program in Haines is just starting to get off the ground and gather interest. About a dozen residents met at the library Tuesday evening to start the discussion. The fledgling group will need to narrow down many divergent ideas and goals to find a clear path forward. Greg Podziki says his interest in bringing higher education to Haines was sparked by a recent conversation with newspaper publisher Tom Morfitt.
Tom Morfitt stopped me on the street and said, "We need to do something for winter economy in Haines. What could we do?" So the next morning I woke up and I thought, a college is perfect. And it is perfect, I think.
But finding that perfect higher education model for Haines is going to take some work. At Tuesday's meeting, there were as many ideas as there were people in the room. Tanya Clark suggested a program where local students and seasonal workers can find success.
I mean, I was looking at it from the needs of Haines' perspective, is so many kids after high school and even in high school have no clue. I mean, we have needs. We have lots of different needs in Haines educationally right now, even with our small population.
But Podziki said that's not his vision. He wants a program that will bring outside dollars to Haines.
To me, that was the whole point, is bringing people to town. Okay, and secondary, right. To me, secondary, I'm different. I feel differently.
Right.
Secondary to me is, it's great. It's great. I like that. But that's, to me, secondary. I want to help save the town, to make it economically, to stay a town.
One thing that everyone seemed to agree on is a Haines College program should focus on local strengths. Arts, outdoor leadership, native culture, fisheries, and ornithology were some suggestions. Here's Alaska Mountain Guides owner Sean Gaffney.
So it can work, but it needs to be driven at the right things. And things like where there's a natural strength, something that other places don't have, that's marketable in a legitimate way.
Gaffney has experience in this kind of endeavor. He founded the International Wilderness Leadership School, which is based in Haines but runs courses around the world. Gaffney said about 700 people a year take classes like mountaineering and sea kayaking with the school. Dave Olrud from the American Bald Eagle Foundation said his organization has talked about starting an ornithology school.
What geographic area has the greatest number of bald eagles in North America? Alaska.
Olrud said people should be coming to Alaska to study eagles, but there just isn't that type of program here yet. School teacher Patty Brown agreed that whatever model the group pursues, it should involve hands-on learning.
We wanted kids to be able to learn something real, something that their passion drives them and something that they can get their hands on to.
It's up in the air whether partnering with the University of Alaska or another school would be the best course. UA has satellite campuses, but with state budget cuts, asking the university to expand to Haines might be a long shot. The group ended the meeting with a few goals in mind. One is to identify if there are any gaps in UA's offerings that Haines might be suited to fill. The idea is in its infancy, but enough interest and research may determine whether it comes to fruition. In Haines, I'm Emily Files. This Thursday, the Skagway Borough Assembly will hold its first reading of an ordinance to put a senior center bond question on the October ballot. The up to $7 million bond would fund construction of a senior center and housing facility that proponents say is needed to better serve the town's aging population. A property tax increase may be implemented to pay for the bond. The Assembly will also hold a first reading on an ordinance prohibiting parking within 20 feet of any street intersection. There is a discussion set for a letter to bus companies regarding numerous reports of large tour buses driving unsafely. The letter asks for companies to address road safety with drivers. Mayor Mark Schaefer requested the Assembly discuss issues related to graffiti in Skagway. A recent graffiti incident at Smuggler's Cove was publicized by the Skagway Police on Facebook. The Assembly will hear an update on the August 8th meeting between the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation and Ore Terminal stakeholders, including the municipality. The DEC meeting will also be discussed behind closed doors. An executive session is scheduled with the borough attorney. The meeting convenes at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.